Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 12th of April, recording at 9:30 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, I've been away most of the day, but I've been here enough to both earlier in the morning and this evening to have some feel for what's going on in here today. So, first, the highlights. In terms of stock markets, mostly soft. But Wall Street closed up with some modest gains. And government bonds weak in here again today. Not a huge hit, but they had been steadying up. And the European and US markets are all softer in here today. I added to my Treasury bond short position after I'd protected more of my existing holdings. And gold up $5 on the bullion price back to 598.57. So generally steady, but a little bit of psychological resistance in this 600 region. And dollar a little bit firmer in here today. Nothing major. Energy a bit softer in here, except for, well, I haven't looked at all of them, but I was going to say definitely that gasoline had pushed higher, got up to 208.15 on the June contract, although that's been pegged back a little bit in after-hours trading. Okay, so where are we? Well, we have definitely seen a bit of a correction here in stock markets during the last few days, and there were some eyebrow raising, at least among people in our office, at the downside key day reversals that we saw, which included most U.S. indices a few days ago. Now, so we have had some follow-through, and some markets have fallen a little bit more quickly than we'd seen previously. But I have to emphasize that in among all the major markets, that there's nothing untoward here, or to put it another way, there's nothing that we haven't seen before, and these can only be qualified so far, at least as small corrections, well, generally well within the norm of what we've seen over the last 37 months and counting. So, I would not want to classify them as more than warning shots at this stage, but the fact that we do see government bond yields pushing up bond prices lower, that means that long-term interest rates are going up. That is certainly a headwind for global stock markets. Now, I mentioned previously that at the beginning of this move upwards in long-dated government bond yields, that was tending to favor equities because we were getting a shift out of the fixed interest sector and into stock markets. But I think at this stage, it is at minimum a neutral factor, and it may have become a headwind. And I think that the more headlines we see, certainly, I think this is a not an not an if, but a when. When those U.S. 10-year yields, not just the 30-year yields, push above the 5% level, that will garner a few more headlines and may spark a bit of concern. Another concern that is certainly justified is that we have seen this week the Brent oil price push above $70 to a new all-time numerical high. We have seen the NYMEX crude push up over $69 to at least look at its Katrina highs, not quite a break above those levels, and it has backed away. Well, one would expect a little bit of resistance near the former highs, but I do maintain that this is very much a consolidation prior to a further leg upwards. And that headwind for global stock markets. But as I said in my CNN interview today, a lot depends on how quickly oil prices move higher. For instance, if we get a sort of a rangy, gradual move above the previous high, and I would expect to see at least $80 a year, I beg your pardon, at least $80 a barrel at some point this year. And that could come sooner rather than later. Now, if that were to occur against in a sudden spike with people talking about a crisis, whether it's involving Iran or Nigeria or some accident, then that would be more of a blow to sentiment, obviously, than if the price were just to range quietly higher, giving people plenty of time to adjust to it. And higher oil prices on their own are not white knuckle territory for investors at all, because as you know from some of the fine reports that we've posted, on an inflation adjusted basis, we're still well off the peaks in oil that we saw in the 1970s. Ditto, of course, for metal prices. And you know that the papers have had some front page items here on this sort of hectic, frenzied surge in commodity prices, I'm quoting, of course, and people talking about bubbles and so on. Well, that excellent report posted yesterday from UBS, which did the inflation adjustment on metals, and that just showed how they were still really quite cheap. And then Owen posted that chart yesterday showing gold on an inflation-adjusted basis. And so these metals are still really quite low. And we do have the global synchronized economic recovery, and that is certainly bullish for the consumption of commodities. So in terms of our resources investments, I think they are very, very attractive indeed. And I think I mentioned again today in response to an email that, you know, well, my three favorites, my core favorites, are the Rio Tinto, the BHP Billiton, and Inco. There's still some uncertainty over the Inco merger with Falcon Bridge, but Inco's a class act, with or without the merger, but it's just an absolutely formidable player with the Falcon Bridge merger, which still has to be approved in the US and the EU. And what would not help the stock, obviously, would be if Xstrata, which can sometimes be fairly aggressive in its acquisition interests, comes in and makes a bid after the 15th of May, when it will be less costly for it to do so. Now, if that were to, if the Inco Falcon Bridge merger is delayed beyond that point, then that might increase the risk a little bit. But I maintain the shares of buy on any setback. And I do still fear a medium-term correction in these markets overall. So this is not an ideal time, I don't feel, to be piling into the markets. But equally, I don't think we need to get shaken out of core positions that we really, really do like. Now, what else to mention? The government bonds, I leveraged up my shorts a little bit further. I've done it all very gradually behind trailing stops, but that's now a fairly hefty position, a second in heft only to my gold long right now. And my gold long, as I've mentioned before, has not increased so much because I'm even more bullish of gold at these numerical highs of $600, but because I had chosen in the latest round, at any rate, to forego the silvers, platinums, and palladiums. Although, if I wanted to get rich quick, it would have been a good idea to have played all four. And what else to mention in here? Currencies. I think this is very much ranging activity overall. up one day, down the next. But as you know, there is that gradual downward bias to the US dollar. But a bull prop for the dollar is the fact that people aren't sure whether the US interest rates are going to peak at 5 or 5.25 or 5.5 on the short-term rates, and probably the Fed doesn't know the answer to that either. So when sentiment shifts to they're going to go a little higher than people expect, then that helps the dollar to steady. Interest rates, as I say, are really the only tangible fundamental here in the in the markets. If you're holding the dollar, in other words, the deficits don't hurt you on a day-to-day basis. People can overlook the deficits and be preoccupied with other factors. If you're holding currencies and you have adverse interest rate differentials, well, especially on a leveraged position, and almost all the currency trading is on a highly leveraged basis, then the interest charges are clocking up at a pretty rapid rate. But my overall view, as I say, is that the dollar will range lower this year, but not be at its weakest until we see some clear evidence that U.S. interest rates have peaked, and especially if it looks like the next move is going to be not only peaked, but that a downward move might not be all that far away. Now we are at least months away from such an environment, so thus I would expect more ranging overall. And I think that's industrial metals. Just did want to mention those. You've seen some good commentary on this point in the last few days, but these strikes, again, people are saying, well, this wasn't anticipated. Mining analysts saying this wasn't at all anticipated. And indeed, I didn't anticipate that we would have this rash of strikes. It's mainly union activity just seeking higher wages. But it tallies with the supply inelasticity meets rising demand. And actually, we could say that at the moment we're seeing supply shrinkage because of these strikes. But remember, if prices shoot upwards on the strike news, it's pretty inevitable that they also fall back fairly sharply when the strikes are resolved, but almost certainly at higher levels. Meanwhile, we had yet another advance here in the nickel price, and closed today at 17,990. So it has broken up out of this range that has confined it for, I think it must be at least 2.5 years. And it is the highest numerical price that we've seen since 1989. But on an inflation-adjusted basis, once again, these are neither historically nor hysterically high levels. And on that note, I'll say all the best.